Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance, with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance, neath the cover of October skies. You know the leaves on the trees are falling, to the sound of the breezes that blow. You know I'm trying to please to the calling.
What's up? What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with you. What's going on? You know, it's Friday. It's the jobs day. It's no big deal. It's, once again, we're going to hear about crappy jobs and something that doesn't exist. And, of course, we keep dreaming and hoping that everything is going to be better. But I think we find out that it's really the same old crap. I don't think that there's any major thing that we could get excited about here. We could talk about the low jobs and, you know, the low number, which means absolutely nothing. You know, one of the things you have to remember is if people are not making money, it doesn't really matter. And I think that is something that, you know, we tend to forget. And of course, the pundits love us to get caught up in the emotion of how good things might be based on some ridiculous numbers that are reported to us from either the government numbers or whatever. And of course we get these readings we get these confidence readings. Do we realize that they're crap? I mean, does anybody really get the fact that we aren't getting much here? I think that's one of the things that would be disturbing to me, is the fact that we really get nothing out of it. But of course, they all want to brag, and now President Obama is now trying to take credit for some of these things. And again, look, at the end of the day, okay, does the president really have an effect on what's going on? And the answer is no, it doesn't. Okay, I mean, they can help with the laws and the rules and whatever, but at the end of the day, they have no major effect. Okay, we know that during President Trump's administration, there's going to be a beatdown at some point here. You know, again, we just don't continue to go straight up forever. There's always the threat of a meltdown. And if you're, you know, if you're a farmer or a producer, you know, in the ag space, how you doing? You know, you're getting destroyed as they continue to punish, you know, markets. And so, you know, if you're not in the equity market, okay, and you're not in the right stocks in the equity market, how you doing? You know what I mean? This is something that gets to me. You know, they make it seem like every single person has all their money in the equity market, and a big percentage of Americans who are working and have pension funds and you know, 401ks, yes, they're invested in the market. But how many of us will be truly affected and be able to enjoy the money that we're making in the market today? And the answer to that is virtually none. Now, you know, it's great to look at. I believe in America. I want the stock market to go up. But I also want it to go up for the right reasons. And I want things to happen because we've got real growth, because we've got real jobs, because we're getting an actual demand for things. And that's something that, you know, I don't see. I don't see that big, huge demand. All right. I don't see, you know, the supply demand curve, you know, working very well when you talk about, you know, are we creating jobs that people can actually go make a living and make good money? You know, we seem to think that, you know, it's like stealing. And, you know, so few people are a beneficiary of what's going on right now in the equity markets, which to me even makes it worse for the average guy. Why? Well, because, you know, your house, your real estate is not charging forward like it could be. And besides the fact that that would be, you know, a hard asset that you're not selling tomorrow anyways. So you're working, you're making less money than you made 15, 20 years ago. You know, we're at all time, basically record highs in the stock market. Everybody keeps telling you how great everything is. And listen, in some areas it is really good, but in more areas than not, it's not really good. And so now, you know, we're seeing this manipulated artificial blast of supposed great information. And I just wonder, you know, where do we think we are in the big scope, the big scheme? Where do we think we are in life? And has the United States of America gotten better? And does the tax plan and do the jobs that they say they're going to bring back matter? And the first is I don't think they're bringing back so many jobs. That's number one. I have not seen evidence that there's all these great jobs coming back to America. I have not seen evidence that everything is as they say, hunky-dory. I've seen that we have a lot of people working at jobs that they're, you know, that they're well overqualified for. You know, I don't know how many people went to college to work at Speedway, okay, or Thornton's. And listen, there's nothing wrong with those jobs. But again, you know, to live in America today, you know, they talk about there's no inflation. Well, I don't know. I mean, you know, I know I'm paying, you know, whatever, $2.60 or $2.70 for gasoline. I know that when I go out to a dinner, out to a restaurant for dinner, you can't get out at a, and I'm not talking about a fancy, I'm talking at a moderate place. You can't get out for without less than $25 a person. Hell, you can't go to a hot dog stand, you know, like let's say a Portillo's, which is a little bit pricier, but you can't go to a Portillo's for less than $10 a person. Okay. You know, so where are we going to get, where are we getting the money to support these places? And how do we figure that we're seeing all this dramatic growth? What I see is continued emptying of strip centers, strip malls. What I see is the continuing beat down of business. And worse than everything, what I see is the destruction of the small business. Now, why is that a big issue? Well, because I said so. No, because actually I will tell you when I get back from the break why that is such a big issue, because it is important to understand the dynamics of what's going on. But in the meantime, this is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. And of course, last night we had our another victory in football. We had the Atlanta Falcons. And I do want to remind everybody, though, that, you know, I have a financial literacy program for kids, and I really am trying to build it, and you know, I'm running out of capital to continue to support it. And I, you know, like you to check out Patreon, patreon.com/BubbaTrading, to see if you, you know, you're interested in helping out. And of course, I'm going to have some special perks for those who do. I'm working on a couple of things, which I will clue you in. But it's patreon.com/BubbaTrading. And of course, LibertyTalk.fm. A, it's the only station you need in general, right? Because we give you everything, news, information, and get a lot of great shows. And there you can also download The Bubba Show every single day, as well as The Sporting Edge on the weekends. And of course, the boys have been on fire as well. And don't forget to get Bubba's daily update. Every day I do an update of the market after the close and email it out to you. It's free. All you got to do is go to BubbaTrading.com and fill it out, sign up for it, and you're set and ready to go. In the meantime, this is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz, and I'm going to step out here for a break and come back and talk about why the small business is so important. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends. Come alive. In the meantime, why is small business so important? What is the meaning of it? Well, A, small business is the main driver in America. You know, small business is what keeps big business in line. Competition, okay? But, you know, small business creates the best jobs, all right? Because when you go to a small business, all right, or if you've ever operated or owned a small business, you are everything, especially when you start, right? You know, if we use the Steve Jobs or the Bill Gates edition, but I mean, again, I'm not saying it's going to be those companies, but, you know, so a small business, you have to do everything, you know, from cleaning the toilets to writing the checks and everything in between. And you have to know how to do everything because you can never be fully staffed because you have to watch your money. You have to watch your dollars. So when small businesses start up, the people that work there get paid better, right? There's more payroll, bigger checks, because everybody's doing more. And you're working lots of hours, okay, to create. Right? You're working, maybe in 70, 80, 90 hours a week trying to build this business up from nothing. So, you know, you create jobs, you create higher paying jobs, you create competition for the big guys, right? But unfortunately, this country has taken a turn to the other side of the coin because small business is being destroyed by the Amazons of the world. And I'm not mad at Amazon for it. I mean, you know, again, I can't blame them. But, you know, they're being destroyed by Amazon, by Walmart, because you cannot compete. All right. If you're a small vendor or a small business that supplies these guys, they put you out of business anyways. And again, I've said this before, but just to make sure you all remember that when you do business with a company like Walmart, they're not buying your product. They're buying your money because of the way they pay. They don't pay very good. Now they pay, but they pay slow. And the reason they pay slow is that they get to work on your money. So they've already collected the money three times over by the time they pay you. And, you know, small business pays right away because small business doesn't have that kind of power or clout to take care of it. So that's why small business is so important, because they create better jobs, they create better competition, and they keep the big guys in line. Unfortunately, the country has headed towards eliminating small business, you know, because of the onerous regulations that we have, because of the the cost it takes to run a business, especially if you're somewhere involved where there's regulatory issues, you know, banking, right? You know, if you're in the banking industry, you get screwed royally as a small bank, which is why they keep selling out, because they cannot compete. So I find that to be, you know, really disturbing from my point of view, that, you know, it's a bad deal for all of us, all the way around. And to me, that's something that is it's a tragedy from that perspective, because we don't get true competition anymore. So we've really, you know, even in the jobs market, we've destroyed the small business, the ability for small business to compete. And that, again, becomes the issues because of the cost of hiring somebody. You know, remember, healthcare is a ridiculous joke of a program. Who can afford to pay for healthcare for somebody? You know, when you hire somebody, you know, everybody thinks, well, you're paying somebody $10 an hour. Well, when you pay somebody $10 an hour, you're not paying 10. You're paying about 15, and that's without real benefits. You throw benefits in, and that 10 is 20. So your payroll is very, very high. And I think that's something that, again, for some reason, we don't like to count all these things in. And I think that is the destruction of America because of what they've done regulatory-wise and where we are as a people when all this thing comes. We leave small business on the side. And that's even into the farming community. Okay, the small farmer, yes, they can still make it. And of course, they've got, you know, most, not most, but many own their own land. So there's, they have assets and they have equity. But it's, you know, farming is a very cash intensive business because you've got to put it up, money up in front to get done what you need to get done. And of course, with the competition of some of the now corporate farms, right? You know, you think about it. In today's world, a farm could actually, could run 24 hours a day. You know, with today's equipment and with what's going on, okay? So you get a, you know, a corporate farm out there. If they wanted, they could actually, you know, be running 24 hours a day, you know, with the equipment now. You know, it's hard to compete. You know, most of the smaller farms are working, you know, with a few people. And again, and then you take down what these farm prices have fallen to, these, you know, the grains are, I mean, grains are like at the, in the 90s level price-wise. And I know there's some perks as you know, from being a farmer, there's some insurance and there's some other subsidies, but it doesn't make up for it. Excuse me. And that is, again, another problem. And that's another part of destroying America from a standpoint that we want all to be able to do well, make money, have a good time. And, you know, the biggest thing we miss is the, when we don't make enough money, we don't spend enough money. Okay. Now, middle class are the best spenders in the world. All right. Why? Because they spend what they make. You know, it's how much is by the month and can I afford it? And when you take away the opportunity to see them do that, you've got nothing. And that's where I think we see a lot of the problems starting to kick in, is the lack of opportunity for small business and the small buyer, you know, which is why you see the strip malls being destructed. It's why you see small business, you know, going out, you know, the small little retailer, you know, that would, you know, you'd go, you might even pay, you know, a couple of bucks more. But at the end of the day, you know, it was a local, somebody you might know, you know, so you but now, you know, with the advent of Amazon and other online shopping, you don't even have to leave your house to go. And of course, what have you done? You've destroyed the small business. And that is something that, you know, obviously needs to be rectified. And the only way to rectify that is to bring back good jobs where people aren't so price conscious because they're making a reasonable living and they're putting themselves in a position to be more successful. And I think that, in my eyes, is one of the biggest fallacies in the system today, is that we can talk about and gloat about how good the numbers may or may not be. At the end of the day, they're just not very good. I mean, that's more like what it is. So whenever you hear how good this is, okay, and how good that is, you can bet that it's really not. And that's kind of the thing about numbers, you know, is that we like to say here on the Bubba Show, you know, the numbers are only as reliable as the liars that tell them to you. And that becomes, you know, just another little minor issue that we, you know, kind of find kind of depressing, you know, because it doesn't make sense. And, you know, we've got just a lot of stuff going on that is just not beneficial to a middle class population, that's not beneficial to a small business. And that's where I think we make or are making the biggest mistakes, because that's what we need to have, is to have everybody on the same unit and on the same page so that we can have equal and fair competition, which would bring back true pricing to the system, which could bring back a true free market, which we haven't seen for, well, at least since the Fed's gotten involved. We don't have the true free markets, but there are free markets in the Bitcoin, and we're going to talk about that when we come back from the break. This is The Bubba Show, and I am, of course, Todd Bubba Horowitz. LibertyTalk.fm is where you can go download the show every single day, as well as The Sporting Edge. And you know, go get Bubba's Daily Update. We send out an update after the markets close every day with what we saw and what we're looking for. All you have to do is go to BubbaTrading.com and fill out the little form. It's free. I send it to you, email it to you every day after the close. In the meantime, this is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwitz. I will be right back with more after the break. The Bubba Show. What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here. The long-awaited Bubba Report. Bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialady, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwitz with you. And, you know, we're having a good old time today at Friday and kind of looking towards the weekend. You got the Army-Navy game tomorrow. By the way, I think Army wins this year. That would be my prediction. Both pretty good teams, but I think Army gets them. So we'll, you know, we don't have a side usually, but this time we'll go Army beat Navy. All right. But I mean, that's tomorrow. Always a big spectacle, and it's great. I think it's very exciting and fun. And, you know, you got to really respect the kids that play there. But anyways, Bitcoin, gold. Gold has gotten thrashed. Gold has broken down. And, you know, we were bullish gold. You know me. I don't ever duck. You know, I don't try to make it like I was wrong or right. I mean, you know, I was wrong. I was right for a long time, but I'm wrong now. And gold looks to be breaking down. You know, again, you know, it's 1265 is a key level, and does not look good. Now, I think a lot of it has to do with, of course, the Bitcoin. You know, I've written about it many, many times for Kitco, but I think that, you know, nobody talked about it, but I thought that there was an issue. And of course, look at the Bitcoin go. Do you realize it traded up as high as 19,000 in some exchanges? I mean, this is like kooky talk. Now, even more amazing, on Thursday, there was a hack into one of these wallets or exchanges, whatever. You know, I'm not really sure of all the technology, but and the $70 million, and Bitcoin went crazy. It was up like 3,000. Now, again, there's a lot of everybody on TV. Most of them call it a bubble, and most of it called a scam or a Ponzi scheme, and I will say this, okay? Now, if you remember, if you've been listening to me for any length of time, you know that back in the day, I didn't believe in Bitcoin. I thought it was a scam myself, unfortunately. And, of course, that was when the Badger was with me, and we were, you know, I was always kind of the, you know, on the fence sitter with the Federal Reserve and some of these things, and you know, I'd call some things a scam and some not. I always thought the Fed was a scam. And, of course, the Badger had talked me into believing that the Fed was right. And I, again, still think they were wrong. And, you know, obviously I've changed my tune. But, you know, we used to talk about the Bitcoin. And, you know, hell, you could have bought some for nothing, right? 10, 12, 15 cents, whatever. In the meantime, now it's 17,000, 18, 19, 20,000. But my point is very simple. The money, that is considered right now by a lot of the investors a safe haven play. Right. That's considered a like a gold play. All right. And for many, it is actually, because if you look at the, you know, if you're in a, especially a country that is under, let's say, communist rule or whatever, and you're trying to get money out, you can't just walk out with gold bars. Right? So I think that one of the reasons that gold is under so much pressure is because of the popularity of Bitcoin and the ease of operation and how it works. Now, you know, Sunday they start trading the crypto stuff on at the CBOE, and that to me lends it some credibility. But more than credibility, you know, we don't necessarily need credibility, but it does lend to the fact that you can now potentially hedge it, okay, which would now bring potentially more buyers into the crypto space because, you know, people will buy, you know, the Sharpies, you know, if I can hedge it, if I can protect myself, then why wouldn't I buy it? Okay. And I think that is something that you know, it's going to bring to me some more money. And I think that might be some of the reason for this recent burst. But in the meantime, if you put the Bitcoin chart and the gold chart side by side, you could see they're going in directly opposite directions, which to me means that there is money either coming out of gold or new money is all going into Bitcoin right now. And I know that a lot of advisors and a lot of family offices are now starting to use Bitcoin as one of their investments. And listen, that is what I've always said, is either way, you know, Bitcoin, whether you're a believer or not, you could use it as an investment as long as you weren't, you know, risking everything you had to get in. Okay. Again, and that goes for any investment. You know, you always want to be somewhat diversified. So now we see Bitcoin, which is the right now from a, you know, an exchange traded product, is the only true free market. Okay. Because it trades 24 hours a day. There is no regulation on it. And, you know, that's one of the things that we always were concerned about, which is why I wasn't all hepped up about it before, because it was unregulated. Now that it's going to be regulated, and I don't mean regulated, but now there's an exchange that will back up my money. It changes some of the dynamics. But again, I've obviously turned the corner over the last couple of years and, you know, been looking to buy. Unfortunately, I haven't bought anything. But, you know, I was looking to buy some of the other ones. Now, it's funny because I was sitting with my lawyer, I don't know, about a year ago or so, and we're sitting having a cigar down by the floor. There's a little cigar shop. And I go, he goes, what do you think about Ethereum? I go, hell, I don't even know nothing about it, right? He goes, I just bought some. You know, it was like $12, $15, whatever. I was like, hey, yeah, look, I said, as long as you're not, you know, exploding or overbuying and taking too much risk, it was all good by me. And of course, Ethereum's now, I think, in the 500 range. I'm not even sure. But again, there's going to be more of that. And I think one of the things that we have to remember is that there is a little bit of a revolt going on. And I believe that many are wising up to the lack of competence that the Federal Reserve has. I think many are wising up to the amount of money that they can manipulate around you. And I think that is something that has become and made the Bitcoin even a better investment right now. And I do believe at home. No, but if you think about it, okay, you know, it can be a real currency, a recognized currency. And there's talk that some countries may go to a crypto model for their currency. Now, again, the true Bitcoin or Monero or any of them, those are true and free, I think. You know, I don't, obviously there's more detail that I don't know, but let's say they are. Whereas if the government gets involved, that means that they have the ability to manipulate price again. And that's the reason that this is doing so well, is because it is truly priced on a free market system, not on a, well, we need to print some more money, so we need to devalue your currency. So remember, you know, again, there's a difference between currencies. And that's one of that's always been one of the exciting things about the precious metals, is that they're a hard asset of value that, yes, the price goes up and down, but it's not necessarily controlled, and it can only be devalued by the currency devaluation. But at some point, it's going to have a value, and it has a truer price discovery model than, you know, something else that can be truly manipulated. And I think that is one of the things that, you know, we are concerned about. I mean, that's one of my big things, is I don't like the ability for the Federal Reserve to issue a secondary on the cash that's in my pocket. That was always one of my issues and one of my problems, and it has not changed. I am, you know, I'm not happy about the destruction of the U.S. dollar. And you know, as we hear the glowing reports of global growth, am I wrong, or is there really a ton of global growth? Is this not just an artificial market across the globe? I mean, is not everything almost like Bitcoin, if you want to call Bitcoin a bubble? Are not the other markets bubbles? I mean, when the Japanese stock market is 55% owned by the government, okay, is that not creating a bubble? This is the thing that always bothers me about economists and the things that they do, all right? Is that not a bubble? What makes Bitcoin a bubble going up every day when the stock market is not a bubble? They're both going up at a ridiculous trajectory, okay? So why is one a bubble and one not a bubble? Well, that's something that you can think about, okay? Because we'll talk about that when we come back from the break, because I think it's important to understand, and this is one of the problems I always have, is that no economist is ever willing to put their nuts on the line and say, this is a bubble. You know, they'll tell you a bubble 10 years from now, after it collapses, they'll say, oh, that was a bubble. You should have known. No, that's my point. I don't like that part of it, you know, but that's something that we need to help educate our youth with. That's for my high school investing program. And if you go to highschoolinvesting.com and check it out, kind of see what we're doing, you know, and maybe you want to help up, step in. You know, I've got 300 high schools, and we've done this for 6 years, in which I have been the sole financier, making sure that it gets done, and we give it away free to the schools. All right. And we're looking for a little help if anybody wants to step in, and that's at Patreon, patreon.com/BubbaTrading. And of course, for those who do, you get a special webinar. And of course, there are certain levels. You get an autographed copy of my book, my new book, Trading Weekly Options. In the meantime, don't forget about libertytalk.fm. That is where my show plays, as you know. But also you can download the show there every single day, as well as the Sporting Edge on the weekends. And of course, Bubba's Daily Update, which is a must have for anybody who trades. So you can get a feel for the markets and what I think is going on. In the meantime, we're going to step out here for a break. This is the Bubba Show, and I am Todd Bubba Horowitz, and we're going to come back and talk about bubbles right after the break. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. It's Friday. It is Friday. We are going to call it a week, but what a week it's been. And, you know, I often get frustrated when I listen to economists talk. I get frustrated when I listen to things that are going on. I don't understand why nobody can decide to say or recognize that we are indeed in a potential bubble. I think that bubbles are created all the time. And I love the fact that everybody keeps comparing Bitcoin to Tulip Mania, for example. And I'm not saying it's not a bubble. I will say that Bitcoin is somewhat in bubble territory right now. That is no doubt, all right? Because again, it's not the product what it is, but it's the chart action that you're seeing. That tells you that it is certainly in bubble territory. Okay. Now, again, it doesn't make it bad. It just means that it's a little bit overextended, and there's a few too many people playing the fear of missing out game right now. But my point is very simple. Bubbles happen all the time. But what drives bubbles? Okay, this is the part that nobody talks about. Okay, what drives a bubble and what makes it a bubble? And of course, the driver of any bubble is greed. All right? You know, the greed and the fear of missing out has probably added, let's say, $6,000 or $7,000 or more to Bitcoin. Okay? So that's why it would be in a bubble. That Bitcoin is in what we would call a blow-off pattern to the upside. And again, if you remember that, you know, markets can only churn and go so fast in one direction. If they become too parabolic or too big, they typically will fail. And, you know, there'll be a sell-off. Again, sell-offs are not bad, okay? Collapses are bad. But sell-offs are natural and should be. They actually create more underlying strength. But if you go back in every major bubble, okay, there was money to be made. But, of course, greed attacked the psyche of all of them. I mean, the South Sea bubble, okay, which is what I talk about because the final debt payment just got paid back from 1720. But Sir Isaac Newton went broke in the South Sea bubble. But, however, the story they don't tell is originally he had made, you know, let's just say millions of dollars based on today's money. Okay, I don't remember the exact number, but that really doesn't matter, but made a lot of money. His problem is he got greedy and he got back in. Okay. Remember, what makes bubbles and scams work? What makes a Ponzi scheme work? Okay. It's greed. Okay. What made Bernie Madoff work? Greed. The returns were unbelievable. But you have to remember that if it looks too good and it smells too good, it's probably, you know, remember, if it looks like it and it smells like it, it probably is it. And that's always a thing that we forget about markets. It's like I talked to somebody yesterday, somebody who's owned some Bitcoin for quite a while. And I go, and it's a guy I know well. And it's a guy I know that struggled as a trader because he couldn't get away from the greed model, right? He didn't know how to take the profit. And I go, my boy, take a few bucks, sell some of that Bitcoin. I'm not saying you get out. I'm just saying take some off the table because you have now life-changing money. Right? You're now in life-changing money. And of course, what do you think he said? Nope, it's going higher. Hey, okay. Again, that's the point. When the greed totally takes over, what you end up with is a much bigger problem. Greed kills, okay? And that's what you have in these bubble markets because everybody knows they're never going down again. That's the attitude that we have now. That's the complacency of the overall markets, knowing that, hell, the markets are never going down again. We got nothing to worry about. So why should I get out when we're only going to go up from here? And that, again, which is why margin debt is at record highs. That's the first warning sign. When people are borrowing money to get into something, now think about this, okay? If you don't have the capital to buy something and you now borrow, are you not more apt to dump the minute it shows any sign of trouble? Okay? So now we put ourselves in that territory, and that is, of course, the same thing that happened in the 90s with the internet. Remember, if you were trading in the internet, you know, everybody was making a fortune until they didn't. But the reason that they made fortunes, the reason the markets were big, because nobody could get out. They just kept adding on, buying more. They didn't know how to take a profit. Well, what's going to happen here, and, you know, when bubbles collapse is when there's the first little sign of trouble. And then they start selling. And of course, like buying begets buying, selling begets selling. And then the bubble pops. And everybody wonders what happened to all their money. And that's something that, again, I warn you, okay? And I never tell you to get out of everything. I don't try to pick the top or the bottom of any trade. What I do is I put out, I forgot a way to put a trade up. I'm trading an option. You know, let's say I bought an option on XYZ at $2. And it went to $6. Well, I'm going to realize that $6, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to sell what I bought and move up a higher price and rebuy. So I'm still in the market, but I'm in and with money in my pocket now. And that's where the problems rise, which is what creates the bubble. Okay? You can't keep doing the same thing over and over again because that's how the bubbles markets are created. And that's what always frustrates me when people will not admit and realize that, for example, right now, in my opinion, this is my opinion here, but the stock markets are in a little bit of a bubble. Bitcoin's in a little bit of a bubble. Okay. But does that mean anything dramatic? No. It means that it's going to pop at some point. But what will happen is the longer we continue to let it be bubblish, the more pain that's going to be created for the more people. And of course, that is what makes the markets function in the first place. Remember, markets are driven on fear and greed. So right now, of course, in the stock market, in the Bitcoin market, in some of the other markets, we're in the greed cycle. And greed, you know, people change. All of a sudden, the most conservative people you know that wouldn't risk a dime that they're in, they're making so much money they can't stand themselves. They got to get more. All right? We need to get more. You know, it's the same. And in this business, we never tell you to get out of anything. We tell you to grind. We tell you to protect what you have. So at least if the worst case scenario happens, you're not a part of that puking, panicking bubble popper. And that's, again, why this market will, you know, pop. And that's why the Bitcoin will pop. Now, again, will it come back? Probably. Again, I think it's legit. Right. But at the end of the day, you know, markets are markets and they'll do what they do. And I mean, we've seen, you know, just what we're seeing in gold right now. It's popping. It wasn't really a bubble, but it is getting hammered right now. And I mean, those are the things that are important to understand about the market, about how things trade, about how people think. Because at the end of the day, it's about playing an opponent and getting inside the head of your opponent so that you have a better understanding of what should happen next based on your opponent. No different than playing any game that has a skill to it. You're playing against an opponent. And that's why this bubble, like all other bubbles, will pop, as always. In the meantime, this has been the Bubba Show, and I certainly appreciate you all being here. Make sure to go to libertytalk.fm and download the Bubba Show every day, and as well as the Sporting Edge on the weekends. And, of course, Bubba's Daily Update, which is available to you at bubbatrading.com. And, of course, we made our selection earlier, but for those who might not have been here, we will repick the Army Black Knights. I think our Scarlet Knights, is that there? We'll take on and beat Navy this weekend, which will be tomorrow. In the meantime, this has been the Bubba Show. Have a great weekend, everybody. Thank you so much for being here. We'll see you back here on Monday. Good night, everybody. Thank you.
Revolutionary Talk for Revolutionary Times. Liberty Talk FM.